I remember teaching, you can go line by line. That's one of those progressive psalms, and every line springs off of the truth in the line before. It's just one of those neat psalms. If you look at that and really put it in New Testament light, you could teach for about an hour on that psalm. It's just so good. You know, righteousness and peace kiss. The reason we have peace with God, Romans 5 says, you now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. The reason you have peace with God, because he's made peace and sees you righteous. And the word righteous means he sees you as if you've never sinned. And I don't think at large we, the body of Christ, really get that, because we relate to our ability to sin and the fact that we've been imperfect. And sometimes we fail to receive the way God's seen us. So righteousness and peace kiss, because when God sees you right in his sight, that's peace right there. Amen. So this morning, I just want to encourage your heart. A thought just came to me sitting there, so I'm just going to go with it and spring on it. And there's a Proverbs that says, guard your heart. For out of your heart flows the issues of life. And I want to encourage you something in the time that I have. Where's that little, that's that little clock, isn't it? Okay, I'm not used to short windows of time. So don't be nervous, I'm not. I am a little, I'm kidding. I am just a little. I like preaching and I'm excited about the gospel. So I got 3 services and I got little windows. I'm like, help me, Jesus. So they gave me 2 nights. Thanks for letting me come here, by the way, Pastor. It's just been fun. And I know some of you just showed up this morning and they sprung me on you. So just be all right. We'll have a good time. But sometimes we get the idea that when somebody preaches something, they're making a statement or trying to say, hey, you know, you guys got it. And it's not always like that. It's not because we're missing something. It's not because we're doing something wrong. There's a lot of times people have trouble with certain messages because of the ear we hear. And Jesus said, be careful how you hear. And what I want to say is this. I want to say the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And in Philippians, I think it's 3, Paul said, it's not tedious for me to write the same thing over and over for you. So he wasn't saying, I'm writing this because you're not getting it. He said, I'm writing it because it guards and protects you. See, it's a loving heart. It's a fathering heart. It's a pastoring heart. He said, the reason I'm writing over and over the same things is because it keeps you in a safeguard. It keeps you in a place where you're staying in the know. Sometimes we get the idea, we listen with an ear of condemnation, and sometimes we're on guard and we're like, well, why are they preaching that? Or why are they saying this? Or what's wrong with my heart? And I just don't want anybody, for some reason, I got this impression to just be gentle and come in this way, because I want to guard everybody's ability to hear clear. And I'm not even sure why. I'm not reading too deep into that, but I just trust the Lord in this stuff. Paul said, it's not tedious to write the same thing to you over and over for you. It's a safeguard. Hebrews 2 says, continue earnestly in the things you've heard, lest they slip away. You know, life has this ability to speak louder than truth. And truth is what makes you free. And all of a sudden, we're a product of what we're experiencing, what we're going through. And all of a sudden, we're only doing as good as things are going. And yet Christ is in us with a call and a purpose and a destiny. And he wants our lights to so shine before men. And he doesn't want the circumstances of life to quench those lights. He doesn't want life to speak louder than truth. He doesn't want us to just come to church on a Sunday morning, pay homage to God, and feel like that's where it's at. He wants us to get filled with him so that we manifest him and make him known through our everyday life without trying so hard. Just because it's who we've become. And we're guarding our hearts, because out of our hearts flows the issues of life. See, our lives matter. He wouldn't have paid a high price for them. Right. Come on, I know us people. You don't write the check unless you think what you're writing the check for is well worth the price. Yeah, that's right. Come on. And most of us are bargain hunters, and we're getting 2-for-1 stuff. Yeah. Be real. You don't write the check unless you're sure what you're writing it for is well worth the price. And you believe what you're getting back in return, that the purchased possession is absolutely as valuable or more valuable than what you wrote. Is that true? Why would God be anything less than that? Why would he shed the blood of his son and pay the price of the blood of his son if he didn't think the purchased possession was well worth the price? It's powerful to me. It's what lit my heart up 20 years ago. I used to go to church and then my heart got lit up. For 20 years, I went to church and quit going. I didn't get it. Jesus died because I'm a sinner. Bummer. Why'd he have to do that for me? I'm a sinner. So I thought I was failure waiting to happen. I thought I was just sin waiting to happen. And I couldn't understand why this precious man Jesus would be God and come in the flesh and go to the extreme to pay the price to forgive my sins so someday I could go to this mysterious place we call heaven and felt like I didn't even know God now. Why does he pay a price to be with me forever? And I don't even feel like I know him now. And I feel like I'm just prone to sin. And I didn't understand the gospel because all I ever was told was that he died on the cross to forgive my sins so I can go to heaven. What I learned 13 years later is in my bedroom with my Bible. What I learned was that isn't the gospel at all. He died to redeem and restore my value, my destiny, to put his spirit back into me. He didn't die so I could go to heaven. He died so heaven could come back into me. So that I could walk in the light as he's in the light and have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus was cleansed me of all sin, that he could restore me back to his image and put his life and his nature inside my heart. So that I didn't have to live frustrated and angry and judgmental and... You know what I'm saying, guys. We've all been there. But the problem is we think that's normal because that's all we relate to because that's what we were from the time we can remember. Come on, touchy, frustrated. Well, I don't know if I like him, but he's all right. I'll hang over here. I'll stay away here. First impressions, frustration, discouragement, gossip, bitterness, all this stuff. It only comes through the fall. None of it's who we are. None of it's who we're created to be. It's none of it is the Christian life. How's that for straight talk? It's what we became when Adam ate the tree. Jesus didn't just say, sing to me. That last song we sang was so worshipful. I love that last song we sang. That was sweet, and you girls did great with it. And just holy. And I'm like, oh, I just put you on your knees. Because he's amazing. Why? Because he knew who I was when I had no clue. And he paid to redeem that truth. He did not pay for me to get my name just written in a book of life so someday a trumpet blows and I'm out of here. This is not a great escape. And now I'm going to suffer like hell through the earth and try to make it to that day. Stay faithful and attend church. No. I have a fellowship with him and a communion with him and he lives inside of me and I like that. Yeah. And he's changed my heart, my motives, my attitude, my perspectives. He's changed my life. Not for 20 months. This zeal isn't 20 months. It's 20 years. Yeah. And I'm getting worse. I am. I can't. It's hard to tone it down. I try to because I don't want to freak people out and come across as a flake. I said last night, the reason I'm not a flake is because when I talk, I make sense. If it didn't make sense, I need help because I'm excited and I can't do anything about it. I sit beside people on a plane. They say, how you doing? That's the wrong question if you're asking that rhetorical. Hey, how you doing, man? Well, hanging in there. That is not my answer. Today, I'll probably get on a plane. Somebody's going to sit beside me, buckle, say, hey, man, how's it going? It's done. You have no idea. I can't even tell you how many people have cried beside me on airplanes. I had a flight attendant, Pastor Jack, come to move the lady beside me. She cried three times out of control, and she thought I was disrupting her, and she tried to get her from that seat to another seat to get her away from me. The lady arm hooked me, laid her head on my shoulder, and said, no, this man is helping me. That sure beats just worried about your connections, your life, your time, your these seats crowded here. I'm in the middle. Bummer. What?
Yeah, that's right.
But then Sunday, holy. But we got to be careful with that stuff. We can't let church attendance take the place of knowing him. And knowing him is becoming like him. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Paul said, I write these things to you, right? For safeguard. It's not tedious to write these things. Hebrews says, take earnest heed of the things you heard, lest they slip away. What that means is, all of a sudden you go through a little injustice. Your heart's sincere. You love God. You see your need for a Savior. You're understanding the things I'm saying this morning, and your heart's in agreement. You're saying, amen, I want to grow into that truth. And all of a sudden, somebody just does something that you just didn't see coming, and your mind goes analytical, and you're like, I can't believe they did that. What would motivate them? How come you just can't trust folks? And next thing you know, your heart's becoming hard because of one person's actions. And you love God the best you understand God, and you see your need for Savior, and you believe he forgives you of sin, but yet your heart's being controlled over here, and your heart's being decided by life, not the giver of it. You guys with me?
Yes.
You're just looking at me real serious. You guys all right? Okay, because you can tell I am, right? See, that's the problem with me. I am always going to be all right. Seriously. I mean, I love people. I don't try. You can hear when I'm preaching all weekend, I didn't say anything to try to antagonize anybody. But here's the raw truth, and I'm not saying it in an arrogant way. I don't need people to like me. I love you. You say, you don't even know me. Yes, I do. Here, there's a time to be born, and here you sit. God knew you before your day. You're predestined to be adopted as a son and a daughter. You're his will. You're the yes and amen of heaven, and you're worth the blood of Jesus. I know you more than you think. Your life has great purpose, and whether you know it or not, I do. That helps me to love you, even if you're living unlovable. Sure. Because I realize, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. And you have more value than you realize. So I just don't throw away people anymore. Yeah. I don't judge people anymore. I don't first impression people anymore, except that I see you and know what you're called to. I see you and know what you're created for. And I don't care if you're cursing up a storm and living lascivious and whatever. I mean, I care. I want that to change for your sake and his name's sake and the kingdom's sake. But I don't have an issue with you is what I'm saying. I know you're more than that if you'll ever understand. Sure. You get what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. That's why people don't get under my skin anymore, because I got new skin. Yeah. Come on, we've grown up this way. And the problem is we think that stuff's normal. That's why we have cliques. That's why we have preferences. That's why we have stuff like that, because we're living out of the flesh, trying to receive the things of the Spirit. And that's why a lot of Christians live like this. And when you ask them how they're doing, their answer's never really cut and dry. It's usually hanging in there, or I'll keep me in prayer, or the two biggest challenges in their life. It's not, man, I'm glad you asked me. I'm in fellowship with God. He's changed my life. Man, he's real to me. Do you know him? And all of a sudden, you're just pouring out your heart. One lady just said, why were you in town? I just went, one lady asked me why I was in town. I told her, she turned and read a book. She turned her shoulder on me and opened up and started reading a book. She said, oh. I just tapped her. I said, you're kidding me, right? I said, honey, you're not really doing that. I'm not seeing what you're doing, right? You're not just turning and blowing me off like that because I told you why I'm in town. What's wrong? What impression do you have of God? Why are you so turned off by what I said? Oh, it's not a problem. It's not a bad thing. Don't read into it. I said, honey, it's not a good thing. Yeah. And we had such an encounter. She still calls me about twice a year and says this on the phone. It's so humbling. She says, I know God sat you beside me, 200 people, and God sat me beside you. It was the greatest encounter of him in my life. I just thank God in this short little life, I got to sit beside you and meet you and know who you are.
Praise God.
And I get that twice a year on the phone. That sure beats complaining. Yeah. Just wanting to get home, not even knowing somebody's sitting beside you. Or feeling like they're too big for the seat, or don't smell the greatest, or whatever. I'm just telling you, people are worth the blood of Jesus. Amen. And he said, if any man come after me, we say, if any man come after him, pray this prayer so you make sure you go to heaven. He said, if any man come after me, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. That's what he said. We preach go to heaven. He preached follow me. It's just funny how we changed the message. We just made it all about praying a prayer to make sure we're in. Like the whole nation is consumed with this Christian prayer, the sinner's prayer, and we're all trying to get into heaven. Heaven wants to get back into us so we can walk as lights and be the body of Christ. Yeah. Why would you deny yourself first? Because you were never made for you. Read your Bible. You were made for his image. God made man in his image. The image was lost through sin, so Jesus became sin to get the lie off of us and get the image back in us. So now we can follow him again. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells now in us and will quicken us and make it possible if we're willing. But if you hold on to your rights that you inherited through the fall of man, and well, I think and I feel, well, you can't tell me, well, what? You'll never experience the love of God and manifest the love of God and shine as a light. You'll just go to church and see your need for a Savior and never become love, and then we'll miss the whole point. Because if you don't have love, you've got nothing. Wow. I hope you guys get it. I'm talking fast because I only got 17 minutes. This one lady sat beside me on an airplane. we hit it off. It was one of them right out of the gate, just giggling, laughing, and I thought, this is going to be fun. And she told me she was 40 years old, and that came out in the conversation. I certainly didn't ask her age. That's a good way to shut her down, huh? And, or force her to lie or something. I don't know. But, no, she just told me she was 40 later, and I thought, wow. But we were just chatting and talking and laughing, and I sat down. I didn't say anything about Jesus. I'm just being social. And then it came up because she asked me that question, like, well, are you heading home? Or, yeah, well, why were you here? I told her, her face got funny, she changed, and the conversation ended. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. It just broke my heart. I tapped her, I said, honey, I said, you know, as soon as I said that, we were having fun. We were laughing. As soon as I said that, you changed. I said, what's going on with you? Where's your hurt with God? I said, I was even going to ask you at some point if you knew Jesus, because I know him. I was hoping you do. I was hoping you look at me and say, yeah, I really love him. I said, come on, do you know him? I tapped her. She said, well, I mean, I have my belief system. I said, oh, that's tragic. She said, excuse me? I said, you have your belief system. You know what that means, honey? That means you've been to church, you've done the church thing, you got the t-shirt, people have hurt you, people have got under your skin. Somehow you've related God to the unfortunate experiences you've had with people, and now you don't have them or him.
Yeah, that's right.
She said, you got all that out of what I just said? I said, it's true.
Yeah.
She lost it. Because she's living, pent up with all that stuff, hiding behind a denial confession. Well, I got a belief system. Yeah, a belief system. I'm hurt, I'm mad, and I don't know who God is. That's her belief system. Oh, my goodness. Till it was all said and done, Jesus just mowed her over in love. It was so ridiculous. You know what happens to me in their settings? People are listening, and you're not even trying to be obnoxious and preach. You're not trying to take over the plane. That wouldn't even be the Lord. Some people are like, yeah, yeah. No, you're whispering. You're trying to, people are trying to sleep. You're not being overbearing. You're trying to whisper. You're trying to be courteous. But people hear, and then they catch what you're saying, and they hear the topic, and now they're like, I had a man, it's not a lie. He's right in front of me, sitting with a book, and I peeked through the seats, and I thought, I saw this page he was on, and 12, 15 minutes later, he's on the same page. It was hilarious. He's sitting there like this. He forgets he even has a book. His ears like. I felt like going, you can just turn around if you want, bud. I've had this happen countless times. I'm walking out of the airplane on the jetway. You guys ever fly? You got the jetway? And people tap me on the shoulder, trembling. I was sitting near you. I heard. And I said, what is it? Did you want me to pray? Could you please? Could you please? I've had as many as 4 people ask me for prayer before I got out of the jetway.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's fun. That sure beats just getting caught up with me. Because if I was just caught up with me, that's a pretty lonely, boring life. I'm just trying to get through and survive and hope I get my fair shake and people treat me right and nobody gets in my way and, oh, the light's green and no traffic, yay.
Yeah.
Me, and unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. This is not a gospel to get us through. This is a gospel to change us.
Amen.
And make us like him so we see the value of everyone around us, even the ones that look like enemies. Please guard your hearts. It's the word I heard. It's not because you're missing it, not because you're hard this morning. Because life's always coming at us, and some of us have lived more years than others, so we run a higher risk of having more encounters and experiences. And then if you get 15 years ago a certain belief and never get that encountered and convicted for 15 years, your heart can be construed by that belief and all of a sudden fashioned by that thing. And the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye is single, the whole body's flooded with light. Unless, of course, you're faced with many challenges and issues, it doesn't say that. It says, if you see clear, you live clear.
Yeah, that's right.
And it doesn't matter who's doing what and how people are treating you. It doesn't matter if your spouse goes off the deep end. You know him and you live from him.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yes.
Come on, this is my encouragement to you today, and I hope you're able to hear my heart today. Peter took a whole chapter, and he wrote a whole chapter in 2 Peter 1. And he said, I write these things to you, brethren, even though you know them and are established in them. And you think, well, then why are you writing it if we already know it and we got it and we're living it? He said, because I think it's right to stir you by reminding. And he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to make sure you hear these things. And I'm going to make sure you have a reminder of these things even after my departure. Well, he was pretty serious about what he was writing.
I bet 2 Peter 1 would be a good chapter to sit down and read.
He wanted to make sure we had it. In fact, I wasn't planning on doing this, but
I got 11 minutes. You want to read it? It'd be good. We probably ought to open the Bible, huh?
2 Peter chapter 1. You'll find it after Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. So guard your heart. It was two scriptures that I heard sitting there. The first, I'm just springing off of what I heard first because I know how God works with me. Guard your heart because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Watch this. Out of your heart, your mouth speaks. You let your heart get hurt, that thing will end up coming out in words, and you have the power of death and life in your tongue because you have authority in your created value. God just made it that way. A man reaps what he sows. Your belly's full of the words of your lips. You have authority in your tongue, and sometimes we don't even realize it. And then we put it all on God. So God's will in life, God's will in life. We say, well, God's sovereign, he's in control. Especially some of us more old school mentality. Well, God's sovereign, he's in control. And we're almost offended at the thought that anybody would even touch that. Well, he is sovereign. If he wasn't sovereign, every drunk driver would die. Everyone would sin and fall over dead. Of course he's sovereign. He's in ultimate control, but he's given the earth to the children of men and he put power in your mouth. He gave you the authority, the name of Jesus. He told you not to fear and he told you to be strong and courageous. He told you to shine as a light. He told you to walk in mercy and forgive and make peace. And wonder if we don't do those things, then if what's happening, is it the will of God? No, a man's reaping what he's sowing. If he sows into the flesh will reap corruption. If he sows in the spirit will reap life. And then we turn around when a bad thing happens and say, well, God must have and God did and God allowed. It's the most dangerous phrase in the whole Christian world is that God allowed. God could be will in life. And you constantly are speaking death and death comes because out of your mouth, bam. And you say, well, God let it happen. What a tragic thing that we put on God. We make him the steal, kill, and destroy guy. No, we agree with the one that steals, kills, and destroys, and then destruction comes. Watch this. My people are destroyed for the lack of. That means get the knowledge and stop destruction. They're not destroyed for the sovereign choice of God. They're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Yeah, that's right. So there's things that are happening that God doesn't desire. Because he's humble and he gave the earth to the children of men and told us to steward it and subdue it, not be subdued by it. So if you get subdued by the world, by the atmosphere, by the wisdom of the world, the spirit of the age, if all you do is watch CNN and cry or say, God, come and get us out of here, we're missing the point. There's people just praying for his return. The reason he hasn't come because not everybody's ready and his mercy hasn't let him come. And you're praying to get out of here if you're not careful. You're like, God, I prayed the prayer. My kids are saved. I'm saved. I lived a long enough time in this rat race world. I'm ready to go, man. And what you're saying is to heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. I'm out of here. Now, does that sound selfish when I preach it plain? Oops. Come on. We're supposed to deny ourselves. Why? You were never made for you. You don't put metal in a microwave. Why? It wasn't made for that. Don't live for yourself. You weren't made for that. Come on. You squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If it was apple, you'd be weirded out. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Probably ought to be weird. I think it's because we relate to humanity in the way we were trained by the fall of man. We say, well, God gave us our emotions. No, not the emotions you grew up with. God didn't give you those. Adam did. It's time to get born again. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become. Dan, you're telling me that I my days of frustration need to end, that there's no way I should ever be offended? I'm exactly telling you that. I'm telling you that love takes no record of wrong. Love's not hurt. Love's not mad. Love's not frustrated. We think the people we love the most can hurt us the most, and I'm confused by that because we say they're the ones we love. Yeah. What we're actually saying is they're the ones we need, and if they ever jump ship, we're crushed. So your I love you in the fall of man got reduced to I need you. And most relationships are driven by need, not love. That's why people are so hurt by one another. Say, oh, I love you. And you're really saying, I need you. Don't ever break my heart. You're making my whole world happen. Don't pull out on me. Did you ever see somebody just walk away from somebody cold and callous as if they never knew them and the other person can't even function, eat, sleep, or live? You ever see that? What happened? Never was love. It was need. And they still need. They changed. They don't see the value of what they used to need. They've moved on. They can't live because they don't have what they need. The whole time we called it love. You say, I love you, and then you bash them with your words a day later. And then you fight and argue and say, well, brother, everybody does it. That's why you do it, because you believe that. I don't believe that. Ask my wife if I bash her. Ask my wife if I talk bad to her. I don't believe that. I don't believe I ever have to. I'm not on the earth to be right. I'm on the earth to love. Oh, I'm on you a little. I can feel the room get a little tight right now. It's okay. Just relax. I can perceive stuff, man, really easy. It's a little squirmy right now. It's okay. And don't elbow your spouse. That's a sure sign I'm talking to you. Don't you listen to the sermon for your spouse. You say, I hope they're listening. You know, I hope they're listening. They better, and all of a sudden they're reaching in and getting a piece of gum. Oh, you spirit of distraction. Get off of them. Get off of them. Why are you? Get off of them. The whole time Jesus is talking to you because you're waiting for them to change because you're only as good as they're doing you. Come on, that's idolatry, guys. That's putting them first. Unless you love less all these things, you'll never be his disciple. God never gave you the gift of children at the cost of who he is. God didn't tell you to covet your children. If anything tragic would ever happen, you'd shipwreck God. That's who you cling to all the way through. He gave you children in the light of who he is, not at the cost of who he is, so that you steward his presence, his image, and impart that into your children all the days of their life. Yes. He didn't give you children to be fulfilled. He gave you children to multiply him.
Yes, amen.
Read your Bible. It's how it was from the beginning, guys. And all of a sudden, saying, if anything would ever happen to my children, I'd just die. And then you tell the devil to go ahead and mess with you. Look, if anything determines your joy more than knowing him, that's the target in your life. And you're an easy target then. And then the more things happen, and you say, why is God letting all these things happen? He's not. You're positioned for it. Are you guys okay? I'm running out of time. I can't read 2 Peter. You can read it. Sometime. 2 Peter's amazing. I will show you this. Look at verse 3. His divine power. Well, watch this. To those, in verse 1, Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. We've obtained a like faith. How'd we do that? By the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe and have faith because God judged us right through his Son. That's what gives us excitement. He's the author and the finisher. So the whole way we keep our eyes on him, he's who we're following. You get it? It's amazing. And then he's given us, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. Watch this. By which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Is he talking about full vats and barns, better job, more income, secure future? The promises are assuring grace sufficient so that we, through these promises, can partake of his divine nature and escape the way we used to live, driven by self-centered desire. That's the Christian life. That's why my heart doesn't ever have to be disappointed again, because it's never about me, it's about his kingdom. That's why you can't hurt me, I should hurt for you. Because if you're doing something against my life, it just proves you don't see what I'm saying. And that should bother me, not hurt me. That should trouble me for you. That should cause mercy to come out of me, not anger. Well, I can't believe they did that to me. If God ever took that view towards you, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you put the way you're thinking towards other in God's mind, in God's mouth, you'll know if you're thinking right. Because if the way you're thinking towards others, if God took that initiative towards you, you're probably in trouble. Are you with me? Okay, so the two scriptures I heard, and I'm closing. I got 2 minutes. Lord Jesus, I'm doing this. I'm so pumped. I'm just here to encourage you this morning. Just give you a little short little, Catholic Church called a homily or something. I don't know. It's just a little homily. I don't know. It's a real challenge for me. Can you tell it's a challenge for me to just talk for a few minutes? I'm just getting like ready to preach, like right now. I'm just feeling it, man. There's so much. We got two more services. I got 1 minute. The first scripture I heard was, guard your heart, for out of your heart flows issues of life. The second scripture I heard sitting right there while they were singing that holy song and I knelt was, don't you grow weary in well doing.
Yes, that's right.
Don't grow weary in well doing. It's in Galatians chapter 6. For in due time you'll reap a reward if you don't lose heart.
Yes, amen.
See how the two go together? I just saw how the two go together when I preached it. Guard your heart. For out of those issues of life, don't grow weary in well-doing. You'll reap a reward if you don't lose heart. Please guard your heart. Don't let people and what they're doing and not doing decide who you are. Let what he has done decide who you are. Don't ever teach yourself religion. Religion is you thinking going to church and doing the things for God is what Christianity is. Christianity is union with God and him living and flowing through your life. Are you with me? Can I pray over you and bless you?
Yeah.
I pray you're encouraged today that you guard your heart and you run your race well, okay? And that you let nothing else decide who you are but what he accomplished. Yeah. Father, I just thank you for the faces that are looking forward today, for the people I haven't even gotten to meet maybe this weekend, and the great honor that Pastor would allow me to come up here, flip on this mic, and encourage hearts. I pray that these words speak, that they're able to hear clear, and that they produce great fruit for your glory, your kingdom, and that peace would be in the homes of the family sitting in front of me, that you would encourage us and grow us and edify us in this truth, that we would shine without trying so hard, that it would just be the way we see, the way we be, it would be who we become. Thank you that we're not bound by works. It's just all in the living. It's all in the going. This is who we are. We're not trying. We've become something in you. And I pray for the grace to receive it and to make it known in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.